Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministry.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yeah, Angela, how's the crew?
They're good. Yeah, we're like finishing up all of our standardized testing for the year and just enjoying summer. We're getting ready for all our summer activities. I feel like the calendar is almost already full somehow.
So you've got, your kids get a summer break from their teacher.
If only. Because that would mean the teacher also got a break.
Right, exactly.
No, it's great. I mean, I do have a couple helpers come by during the week, and that kind of helped change things up a bit. I think it helped a little bit with everybody. They look forward to the helpers coming, and it's fun. And then I get work done. So.
Well, we should jump into it. We've got a lot of things to cover today. And first up is, as we have continued to keep our watch on what is happening in St. Cloud with the Planned Parenthood and its efforts to hire an ultrasound technician for the purposes of doing abortions. Well, this past week, we got reports from the folks in St. Cloud that there was a lot of activity, especially on Tuesday, which is the day that the job posting listed that this ultrasound technician would work to help them for the purpose of killing babies. And there were a lot of women going in, so we got that report right away. And then as we looked at the job posting yesterday, it was listed as being a closed position. So as of June 3rd, I shouldn't say yesterday, it was June 3rd that they did that. And so right away, my thought is they hired somebody. They may have even hired them a week or two ago. We just didn't know it because job posting stayed up, and they probably just finally took it down, so, or closed it as it says on the website. So it looks like it's set. It's happening. The good news is we already had our sidewalk counseling training in St. Cloud. We had 37 people that got trained to do sidewalk counseling. If they all decide to get active as sidewalk counselors, we don't need that many for a one-day abortion day in St. Cloud. We do need probably a dozen to cover all the shifts with at least two sidewalk counselors at every shift. But we've got plenty of people to work with in order to do that. So we're ready. We're ready to deal with this as far as a sidewalk counseling side of things go. So still a lot of work to be done. We still desire to gather pastors and churches to get out there to pray and to make it clear in the community that this is not wanted and so forth. So a lot of work in that area to do, but this is just the where it's at now and what we're looking at, what we're dealing with.
Yeah, kind of disappointing. I was hoping that I was just hoping that somehow they would end up not hiring anyone. But I mean, there are a lot of medical people in St. Cloud. So
right. Now the town of St. Cloud, the city of St. Cloud, as unfortunately is the case with urban areas, larger urban areas, and this is a small city, but it's still an urban area. The liberalism that allows for the killing of babies is a little higher right in town than this whole central. Otherwise, central Minnesota is very pro-life and very much against the killing of unborn babies. So this is better than being in the Twin Cities and dealing with it than it up there than it, you know. So there's good hope that we can still do something and try and keep this from going too long, too far, and certainly have the opportunity to save as many lives as we can along the way. So there are a lot of
really, really good, ardent pro-life individuals up there that really want to see an end to abortion. Yeah. There's a really good pocket of people up there that work hard. So At least there's that. That's very good.
Yeah. Well, and on the good news side of everything, we have a bunch of baby saves in the past.
This is so crazy. Got
recorded. It's really wonderful.
So. I think it's the most we've ever seen in one show week. Like I'm guessing there's a little bit of a delay, but not much, right? I mean,
well, some of the stories took a while to compile and get together and to verify and all those type of things. So some of these babies saved go back to, you know, earlier in May, but it's still
the most we ever had to report on.
Right. So we had a baby saved at the Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, had a baby saved at the Uptown Planned Parenthood in Minneapolis. We had four babies saved in Central Florida. And all four at this all women's health center, as they call it. So some really great stories. And then we got four positive stories. These are possible babies saved that we just didn't get enough verification to document them as babies saved. But certainly the day of those abortions, these babies were saved. So we've got one in Mankato. We've got another one at the St. Paul Planned Parenthood, the big mega Planned Parenthood, one at Brooklyn Park Planned Parenthood. Wow. I guess another one at the St. Paul Planned Parenthood, and then one in Moorhead. So some very positive stories, as well as ones that we can document that we know babies were saved. So it's always exciting.
Shout out to our sidewalk counselors. You guys are amazing.
Absolutely. Amazing. They are the best there are.
God courageous, bless you for being out there.
Yeah. Courageous, prayerful, spiritual, deep people of kindness and goodness. Sidewalk counselors are amazing. And the prayer supporters are out there every week with them too. It's just, you know, we've got, Angela, you got to hear this. We've got some people who go out and pray at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul every single morning except Sunday morning throughout the year.
I just, yeah. Thanks be to God, because it's like, yes, the heart that these people have for helping protect the unborn, understanding that this is above all a spiritual battle. And we need those prayers. We can't forget to continue to pray for an end to abortion.
And they endure ridicule and verbal assaults, and sometimes even some minor physical encounters. Just absolutely amazing, courageous people of God. And it's so good to see faith as the old organization was called, Faith in Action. It's fun to see faith in action. So, very good, very good. Well, we have, so there's an organization, it's called Heartbeat International. I know Jorel Godsey, who's the director of this organization, good guy, good organization.
It is,
And they have put together this program for pregnancy help centers all across the United States, where they have this network of centers that are affiliated, or I shouldn't say affiliated, but are tied to them in some way or another, and they offer all sorts of help and aid to all these pregnancy centers. There's thousands of them across the United States that they have involvement with. But then several years ago, they started what they called the abortion pill reversal process. And about 5 years ago, they named it the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. And so they've got, all across the United States, they've got doctors and physicians clinics that will do the abortion pill reversal that they can send women to. And they have thousands of babies that have been saved after mom has taken the first pill in the process of an abortion pill abortion. Well, in that, because of that, they've been able to compile a lot of stories of the harm that has come to women who have taken the abortion pill, or the harm that could be there to the woman who's taking the abortion pill. So they've just put out a couple new websites that have this stuff, and it's just fascinating to have the opportunity to take a look and see these stories and so forth. And in the good order that comes out of this organization, the rest of the pro-life movement can share this stuff freely and use it in what would be best to try and save more lives. And I just,
yes,
I so appreciate that with Jor-El and his organization Heartbeat, that they're so,
when I, yeah, I love that they put together, an info page on if you suspect that you have been poisoned, because we cover these stories almost every single week of a woman who has been poisoned by abortion pills without her knowledge or consent, and then needs help, you know, like because she's in an abusive relationship. And so I'm glad that this is being addressed, at least in that way. I mean, obviously there's more work to do, but this is very, very important. This is a first step.
Yeah. And of course, having information out there that can be made public on social media and other places, because the regular media doesn't cover the stuff at all. Having it so that it can be put out there so that it can be consumed by the young women who might be thinking about using the abortion pill to understand how dangerous it is to her. You know, obviously always dangerous to the baby. That's the intention, but, having it so that, help can be there for the woman is so vital in this process. So, well, we've got 159 lawmakers at the national level that have sent a letter to the Trump administration urging the restoration of what is called the Protect Life Rule. Now, this rule was instituted. This is under Health and Human Services, which Robert Kennedy Jr. is heading up for the Trump administration. And this is about the Title X funding. Okay, so Title X is grant money that Congress has authorized to go to what's called so-called family planning organizations, or for so-called family planning. Now, unfortunately, much of Title X money goes to teaching contraception and other areas of teaching teenagers how to engage in sexuality when they should be teaching abstinence. But abstinence programs are eligible to receive some Title X money. Planned Parenthood throughout the years has been receiving a lot of money from the Title X program, claiming because they dispense contraceptives and they do all this stuff, teaching this their evil ways to teenagers, they're entitled to the Title X money. Well, in 2019, in the first Trump administration, they created this Protect Life Rule, and they ceased allowing Title X money to go to organizations that performed abortions or referred for abortions. Well, Planned Parenthood does both. And right. So Planned Parenthood got cut off. And instead of stopping abortions, they chose to stop receiving the money. Now, Biden comes into office, rescinds this Protect Life Rule, and opens it wide up to Planned Parenthood to receive the money again. So now the effort is underway to try and get the current Trump administration, this new term, to now restore this Protect Life Rule and prohibit, I believe, about $60 million of our federal tax dollars to go to Planned Parenthood each year. So so it's hopefully there will be an act to that. The other thing we got to keep an eye on, and this is getting really close, and I know, Angela, you've been aware of this as well, but the Medicaid funding that was cut off to Planned Parenthood was for 1 year. And that funding, which is the lion's share of federal funding that Planned Parenthood receives, that 1 year ends July 4th.
Now we're coming up here. We're a month away.
Coming up very quickly, and we're not seeing any movement yet in Congress that makes it look like there will be an extension of that cessation of funds to Planned Parenthood. So there's a high likelihood, as we celebrate our 250th year as a nation, that Planned Parenthood will suddenly start receiving full Medicaid funding again. Hundreds of millions of dollars each year. So,
yeah.
There's a new op-ed piece that was put out in the Wall Street Journal, and it's calling for transparency surrounding the Food and Drug Administration's failure to release the full record relating to the abortion pill, mifepristone and Mifeprex. So what we're talking about is these are the things that have been held hidden from the public for more than 25 years. It was in the late 1900s or 1990s, the late 1990s, that the Clinton administration's FDA was working through the process of determining whether this should be approved. Of course, they were working to approve it. Lots of secrecy around this. This information that normally is made public or is available to be made public at some point is still being kept very, very quiet, very secretive. And in the year 2000, the FDA, under the Clinton administration, opened up the use of the abortion pill in the United States for the first time. Here it is 25 years later, more than 25 years later, and we do not have what happened. And they're talking about documents that are missing, include correspondence, expert reviews, studies, trials.
It seems data. Very, very suspect, right? But that's been, we've been saying this for years. They're hiding something. They're hiding how dangerous it is. So when women are told that, you know, birth control or whatever it is, any sort of abortifacient is as safe as Tylenol, we can be certain that that's not true. We know it's not true. They're obfuscating, and they have for decades.
Right, right. And so this goes back to its approval altogether. We're not talking about the releasing or taking away a lot of the regulations that they had on the abortion pill after it was approved. We're talking about its approval altogether. And so there is an effort, though, to with a new lawsuit to get all these communications through public data practice stuff. Hopefully that will be complied with, and we'll get that information as we go forward. Like you said, we hear this almost every week anymore. Here's another one. Police in Columbus, Ohio received a call and were dispatched. This is May 28th, regarding a father who was allegedly attempting his daughter forcibly to take the abortion pill.
Oh, that is so sad.
He got it mail order, you know, and again, because the regulations allow for these mail order drugs to be sent out, it's just the evil that men will do with the pills to get rid of babies is just unbelievable. Then we've got, and of course, that's there even without the abortion pill. We've got a woman, 17-year-old girl. She's 8 months pregnant. And she goes out to Arizona to get away for a little bit, for a little vacation. She went to San Diego from Arizona. So she lived in Arizona, went out to San Diego for a vacation, short-term thing with her family. And her boyfriend, who is older, is alleged to have traveled from Arizona separately, surprised her at her vacation spot. And there he fatally shot her before fleeing the scene. He didn't want her baby to be born. The girl died. They did their best to try and save her life. The baby at 32 weeks, they did an emergency cesarean. And though the baby is alive, the baby is in critical condition right now as well. So just another one of those, you know, when we say it's okay to kill babies, it's okay to kill anybody.
Yeah, I feel like stories like this are really unnerving. Sorry, I don't know why this, I think because I'm visualizing like what that baby is like at this age, and her being so young at 17 years old, and just how violent and wicked. This is obviously extremely premeditated, and this poor baby, like if this baby survives, has been robbed of their mother, and it's just so sad. So sad.
And Dad has been caught, and I'm sure will end up in prison.
I appreciate that he's facing felony charges for both murder and attempted murder.
Right.
Because I feel like in a lot of states, they would act like, you know, there is just that cognitive dissonance that exists in law. We have it here in Minnesota, too, where, you know, when the baby is wanted, it's treated as a person. As a homicide. And then when, right? I mean, it's not like we allow women to do drugs or drink alcohol when they're pregnant. That would be illegal to do drugs while you're pregnant because of the impact that it has on the baby. And yet, but these women would be allowed to kill if they wanted to. You know, it's so twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a good example of like, yes, obviously this baby has value and is a human being. Regardless of if the baby is wanted, you have one person who wanted this baby, the mother, and another who did not, the father.
right.
But you have the same baby.
Right. And it's just the violence of our society now, how high it's risen in recent decades. Well, in South Dakota, we've shared the story where South Dakota sued Mayday Health, this organization that created itself for the purpose of doing mail order abortions only, mail order abortion pills. It's Mayday Health. That's all they do. Well, the South Dakota pushed to force them to quit advertising at gas stations in South Dakota, where most abortions are illegal. And now Mayday Health has initiated a federal lawsuit against South Dakota for prohibiting them from promoting abortions, illegal abortions, in the state of South Dakota through these things. So that's one we're going to have to watch and see what the courts do with that, because I'm sure Mayday Health's whole claim is going to be some sort of claim to freedom of speech, because they have nothing else to even begin to try and hang a hook on. But you know, they're promoting something illegal, which is always speech that can be prohibited,
right,
is my understanding. So you know, you can't go and advertise you want somebody killed. You just simply can't. That advertisement, the government can get you in jail. And so I'm not sure how they're going to win that lawsuit, but it'll be interesting what happens with it. We'll keep an eye. Got a new poll out there. And this is a Pew Research report, just came out midweek this past week. And it's showing results on a survey regarding churchgoers and what they hear from their clergy members when they're sitting in the pews. They surveyed more than 3,500 people. The survey was done in April. And they were asking about a range of political issues that might be addressed from the pulpit. And of course, for us, the most interesting ones, and Professor Michael New is the one that put this together. It's great to see his stuff. Most interesting, of course, for us as pro-lifers is how people are talking about, or how they're hearing about, the abortion issue from their clergy member. So Catholics who attend Mass at least monthly, 49% are reporting that they've heard a clergy member discuss abortion within the past few months. Evangelical Protestants are saying 43% of those at least once a month church attenders. Then you get to white non-evangelical Protestants, or we would say the mainline Protestants, as well as, and I don't know why they break this out differently like this, but they did, Black Protestants. And it says that they're only hearing about 18% of the white non-evangelical Protestants, and 20% of Black Protestants reported hearing this from a clergy member. Okay, so those numbers are really low, but here's the thing that's really important, is that the percentage of those who are saying it was a pro-life message is extraordinarily high. 86% of Catholics, 90% of evangelical Protestants, and then 78% of white non-evangelicals. That one surprises me, Angela. 53% of Black Protestants are saying that when they're hearing a message about abortion from the pulpit, it is exclusively pro-life. Those are good to hear. It's a different direction than what we've seen in recent decades. It may that trend grow in the right direction.
You know, I gotta say though, I'm a little disappointed. Only 86% of Catholic, the Catholics are reporting pro-life homilies or messages.
That is exclusively pro-life. Yes, it should be disappointing that that's the case, but it's not. To me, it's not surprising, unfortunately.
It's not surprising, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, it's not surprising.
It's a problem. It's a problem. Right.
But, you know, I think when they're saying exclusively pro-life, there could be that there are other issues that are being talked about, even though the abortion side of it is still a pro-life message. If that homily is talking about death penalty and other things like that, then it might get reported that way.
Well, I suppose it depends on how the reader interprets it, right? Like if somebody has more of a seamless garment view of what the pro-life movement is, then maybe they would classify it as exclusively pro-life, even if other things were talked about. Whereas someone else who doesn't have a seamless garment view of the pro-life issue, then yeah, maybe they would, you know, mark that off differently. You know what I mean? Right. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It does to me. I hope it does to the listeners.
Okay.
Jumping all the way to Australia. There's a hospital chain that has been growing in Australia, and a new hospital opened up not too long ago in Queensland, Australia. And it's called Mater Hospital Springfield. It's a Catholic public hospital. Now, this hospital, which receives Australian tax dollars to help operate and so forth, this is just outside of Brisbane, by the way, and they've got 11 hospitals across Queensland and so forth. So, but they are so clear in their Catholic identity. They will not do anything considered life-ending services. That means assisted suicide, abortion, and even hormonal contraception will not be done inside these hospitals. What a great statement to hear that, because unfortunately, here in the United States, from our own experience, hospitals, medical centers, even other institutions that have the Catholic name on it, don't always abide by Catholic teaching in these fundamental areas. And so here they are standing up and being strong in a country that's been tough to be strong in and be Catholic in recent years.
Yeah.
So the Nevada State Supreme Court has halted their parental notification law. This is related to abortion. It's similar to what we've had in Minnesota up until our 2023 legislation. In fact, our law was in place that the federal courts had said could take place. It never did in Nevada until Roe v. Wade was lifted. And now the state is claiming it's unconstitutionally vague. And it's not parental consent. It's notification. And they have a judicial bypass, just like we had here in Minnesota. So I don't understand that. One last real quick story. This is just so important. A federal judge has ruled against Planned Parenthood in a Florida lawsuit. This is a lawsuit where the Planned Parenthood is claiming that the abortion pill is as safe as Tylenol.
Oh, look, I just said that.
Right. And the state of Florida is seeking $350 million in damages from Planned Parenthood for making that false claim. And this case is going forward. I'm glad.
I can't wait to see it. You love to see it.
That one would shut down Planned Parenthood in Florida altogether. It's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.